I know my mom wishes she would have been here to hear the biblical mandate for shoe shopping. That would have been her best day of her life. But we are still in our series looking at how we move from worship as muscle memory and instead intentionally worship the living God. Last week we talked about confession as something that can help us be at one with God and at one with each other by removing the masks. And we heard that God comforts the afflicted, but also afflicts the comfortable. And in confession, we get it to have it both ways. This week, we're going to talk about transformation. That worship isn't designed to be a static thing. It's designed to be dynamic. Our text today is Ezekiel chapter 46. And basically, these three verses appear in a long litany of instructions for correct temple worship. It's okay, you can admit it. This is the stuff you skip over when you're reading the Old Testament. But you're not alone in that. When I was at a pastor's conference, part of that conference was spending about 45 minutes each day reading some assigned reading and then doing a journal on that and then sharing it with the other people in your little small group. And one day we had several chapters from Ezekiel, including this one, as our assigned reading. Now, the way that this devotional was set up is whenever there was really good devotional material, then it would be just like one chapter. But if the devotional creators thought, they might need a little more content here, there's not as much here to get out of it, then you'd have a whole bunch of chapters. So to get like six chapters of Ezekiel, of the reading, they weren't expecting you to get much out of this. Now, furthermore, if you look up this text, these three verses in particular, in the commentaries, you're going to see it's virtually invisible. Hardly anyone mentions anything about these three verses. Maybe a little one-liner just to acknowledge its existence. But pretty much no one has much to say about it. And yet, despite the very low expectations of that devotional creator, despite the almost invisibility of these verses in the commentaries, these three verses have been some of the most important ones for me as a pastor as I plan and lead in worship. Your mission, should you choose to accept, is to figure out why while I'm reading it, rather than waiting for me to tell you in a couple minutes. Are you ready for your mission? Ezekiel chapter 46. When the prince enters, he shall come in by the vestibule of the gate, and he shall go out by the same way. When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed festivals, whoever enters by the north gate to worship shall go out by the south gate. Whoever enters by the south gate shall go out by the north gate. They shall not return by way of the gate by which they entered, but shall go out straight ahead. When they come in, the prince shall come in with them, and when they go out, he shall go out. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, I'm going to make you wait a couple minutes before getting the answer to why these verses are so important to me. Instead, let me tell you a few stories that might get us there. When I was growing up, I was over at my friend's house wrestling, as middle school boys are wont to do. Now, my friend had several inches over me. He was bigger than me, maybe stronger than me, but I had one distinct advantage, which was he had an older sister and I had an older brother. So I was well equipped for wrestling. And so as I tossed him over my shoulder, and in a pretty good move, if I do say so myself, his long legs kind of flailed out and hit the lamp in his living room, which shattered. Now, in a kind of a Humpty Dumpty moment, we were trying to put all the pieces together, and with some MacGyvering, we got it to where it looked kind of right. Now, the next day, his dad walked in, and he was puzzled, had a puzzled look on his face, and said, "Something is different. I can't put my finger on it." Now, later that evening, he turned on the lamp, which disintegrated, and as he looked at my friend, shrugged innocently, and hoped to avoid any consequences. Similarly, when my family moved from Clifton, where we were living, several years at the end of high school, my parents hired movers, and the movers came and picked up the Chase Lounge. And to my parents' horror, as the movers picked up the Chase Lounge, all four legs stayed on the ground. And the same thing happened in the living room and with the sleeper sofa. And so as they looked at my brother and me quizzically, we just shrugged innocently. Had nothing to do with 5 years of wrestling indoors, sure. On Ash Wednesday, Christians from all walks of life get the sign of the cross drawn on their foreheads in ashes as a way to enter into the Lenten season. Now, a few years ago, an ESPN analyst showed up on live TV with the cross drawn on his forehead. No mention was made. No one mentioned anything. Nothing was said, but it was there. My friend's dad could tell there was something different in his living room because I had been over at his house. My parents could tell that something was different about their furniture when they tried to pick it up. And when people watched ESPN that particular Ash Wednesday, they could tell that something was different. Maybe they thought it was a wardrobe malfunction, but something was different. And so the question for us is, anything different about your life as a result of worship and as a result of your faith? Would anyone in your life notice because you're here today? And that is why I love the image presented in this text from Ezekiel, why this is so transformative for me. Because if you enter by the north gate to worship, you have to exit by the south gate. No one is allowed to return by way of the gate from which they entered. It is a physical reminder that whenever we enter the presence of the living God, we are changed. There's no turning back. Something is different about our lives because of our worship and because of our faith. That's why these verses matter so much to me as a pastor planning and leading worship. We're supposed to be changing lives, so let's plan accordingly. Would anyone in your life notice that you went to worship by the north gate and exited by the south gate? Is anything different in your life as a result of your worship and as a result of your faith? In our first text today, Paul wrote to the church in Rome to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. There's a great temptation among Presbyterians to slightly tweak this verse, because we like to know things. We like to be educated. That's one of our strengths. But Paul didn't write that we should be informed by the renewing of our minds. He wrote that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. When we worship God, when we think about the words of a hymn, when we listen to a sermon, when we read the Bible, when we go to a Bible study or a small group, when we do a quiet time or a journal or a devotion, however we are worshiping God, it's not just enough to add another intellectual trophy on the wall. We're supposed to be different as a result of what we've learned. When I was growing up, I was a huge fan of the Oakland Athletics, the A's. It's a baseball team. And my favorite player at the time was Ricky Henderson. I loved him because he was faster than anyone. He stole more bases than anyone before. And at the time, Ricky got a huge deal from the team. It wouldn't even be a blip on the radar today, but at the time, it was a huge deal. Part of that deal was that he got a $1 million check, literally a one with six zeros after it. And he thought this was pretty cool to have an exactly $1 million check. So cool that he put it into a frame and mounted it on his wall. Now, at the end of the season, the Athletics accounting team noticed that their books didn't quite match. They were off by exactly $1 million. They tracked it down, and sure enough, Ricky had never cashed the check. It was sitting mounted on his wall as a display, $1 million just sitting on his wall. They eventually convinced him to cash it, and they made a replica for his wall. Whenever we enter into worship of the living God, we receive a treasure that is far greater than what Ricky received in that check. But if we leave it as information, not transformation, then we're doing the same thing. We're just mounting it as a display on the wall, not cashing it, deploying it in our lives. Worship is supposed to leave us changed, different, deployed, not displayed on a wall. Is anything different about your life as a result of worship? Several years ago, I told a story in a sermon of a time I did not follow the Holy Spirit's prompting to help a homeless man. And then I heard an interesting story from a church member the next week. She said that she had driven by a homeless man, no sign or anything. He was just sitting on the side of the road. And she was just going to keep driving. But then the Holy Spirit put a little prompting in her head to go talk to him. Now, she was going to ignore it, but then she remembered my story of not following the Holy Spirit's prompting. She was like, okay, I'll go do it. She circled around, went and talked to him. Turns out he just needed a ride, needed to get a few more miles. He was tired, so he was resting from his walk. So she gave him a ride those next few miles, and then they went on their way. She heard information in worship, an encouragement to follow the Holy Spirit's prompting, to have courage to follow through with that. But she let it become transformation whenever she enacted it in her life. Something was different about her life that week because of her worship. She came in by the north gate, but she left by the south gate. If you're looking for ideas, ways that the Holy Spirit might be prompting you to exit by a different gate, I encourage you to read our passage from Romans this week. No one here will get through reading that passage in Romans without something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. Is the Spirit leading you to live differently because of your worship? Verse 9 in that reading from Romans encourages us to grow in love and also stand up against evil. Is that something God has placed on your heart? Verse 10 points us toward praising and honoring other people, not just to ourselves. Verse 11 reminds us to passionately serve the Lord. Do you have a place where you are serving passionately in Christ's name? Verse 12 praises persistence, persistent hope, persistent prayer, persistent faith, even in suffering. The next verse encourages generosity toward ministry and toward strangers. Verse 14 reminds us to love our enemies, not to attack them. Verse 15 admonishes us to share life with each other, our joys and our concerns, not to hide. And finally, verse 16 points us to have humility, not pride. Is the Holy Spirit prompting you in any of those ways to exit by a different gate this week? Is there any information that needs to become transformation in your life? Anything that is being displayed on the wall, like Ricky's $1 million check, that needs to be cashed and deployed in your life? Where is God trying to take you into worship by the north gate to send you out by the south gate? Sisters and brothers, we don't gather in worship to remain the same. We gather in worship to be transformed, to be more and more in the likeness of Christ, not to be informed, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you hear a sermon or go to a Bible study and you learn something, that's nice. But we're called to take it a step further and see how the Holy Spirit wants to change our lives as a result of what we've learned. That's the true measure of entering the presence of the living God, regardless of whatever gate you enter by. Did God send you out a different one? Somehow changed. Somehow transformed in the image of Christ. Don't leave the treasure of God's word hanging like a display on your wall. Deploy it in your life. By which gate did you enter worship today? And by which gate does God want you to exit today and this week? Thanks be to God. Amen.